Money FM 89.3, best of weekends.
He is joining us now to talk about a new survey that they have concluded on attitudes by Singaporeans about wildlife conservation. Dr. Cheng, welcome to Weekend Mornings.
Thank you for having me, Glenn.
It's great to have you with us today. Tell us about the survey. First of all, why did you decide at WRS to do this survey?
Well, connecting people with wildlife and so that, you know, we can influence their behavior and attitudes towards wildlife conservation is core to our mission. So what we would like to do is that we commissioned this survey to find out a little bit of a baseline, if you like, of how the sentiments of Singaporeans, the attitudes and motivations towards wildlife conservation. So hopefully with the findings that we can, you know, target some of our messages to be more specific to allow us to be able to influence and motivate people more in a more effective way. Mm.
Dr. Howe, it's Neil Humphreys here, and I've written several children's books about animal conservation. So when I heard about this survey initially, I was rather sceptical. I just assumed that there would be little interest, that Singaporeans might be more disengaged. But I was very, very uplifted by the findings, particularly the statistic that said one in two surveyed Singaporeans have participated in wildlife conservation efforts. One in two. I mean, I think that's terrific that 50% of the country have engaged in conservation in some way or another. I mean, that was very positive to me. What were your thoughts on that particular finding?
Hi, Neil. Yes, I agree with you. I think it's quite significant. Singapore is a highly urbanized country. Not many, you know, wild places left. But we do know that, you know, Singapore has a very, very active and very committed, very passionate nature community. But one would imagine that, you know, the bulk of the urbanites might not be caring so much. But on the other hand, we do live in an information age. Information is freely available. And also, of course, we have four of our wildlife parks, if I may say so, among the best zoological institutions in the world. And we are very popular, as also has been confirmed again by this survey, that we do attract a large percentage, a large proportion of Singaporeans that come to our parks. And of course, when people come to our parks, we would like to modify and change their behavior and attitude, and very, very importantly, connect them back to wildlife and nature so that, you know, to develop this emotional affinity towards wildlife. So yeah, it is good that, you know, that some of the evidence seems to be working, that a large proportion of Singaporeans do recognize that they are doing something towards conserving wildlife. And, you know, for the other half that we will continue to work on, to invite them to join us in the fold as well.
Speaking with Dr. Cheng Wenhao, who is the Deputy CEO and Chief Life Science Officers at Wild Reserves Singapore. You may know WRS for Jurong Bird Park, Night Safari, the zoo, the river safari, 15,000 animals in total at those parks. And Dr. Cheng, part of your survey mentioned that Generation Z, Gen Z, are now twice as inclined to support wildlife conservation as compared to older Singaporeans. Are you heartened by that on one hand, and on the other hand, a little bit disappointed that the older generation isn't more concerned about it?
I think this is not very surprising. Throughout the years, when we've sort of been engaging, you know, the pioneer generation of people who have worked very hard to overcome many of the economic challenges to get to where we are today. So we've always been, you know, given the sort of the word of mouth sort of impression that, you know, they've always shared that, you know, they would rather go for more social causes, improving people's access to education, helping those with less income. So we've always been aware of that. And it is, again, once again, the other part of it that has been confirmed by this survey, yes, it is the Gen Z who now seem to be much more attuned and want to do more about it. And once again, that is probably quite in line with what's been happening around the world as well. We've all heard of, you know, the young people trying to take control. And it is true that, you know, when we talk about all these massive loss to biodiversity that we're facing today, and there seems to be that, you know, on the one hand, people are quite well informed by that. And on the other hand, they seem to be, well, intellectually, they can sort of understand that. But a lot of the time, from a behavior point of view, from a lifestyle change point of view, people seem to be quite slow in moving the right direction, to be doing the right thing. Mm-hmm. I think a big part of it is that, you know, when people look at their current life now, it doesn't seem to be directly impacting them yet. Whereas the Gen Z, they know that by the time they grow up, the big environmental damage will be there. They will be the one living with it. So in fact, that really is the crux of the thing, that those of us who are now, you know, running the world, and if we are not going to be handing the environment, this big loss of the biodiversity to the next generation, we are not doing a very good job of it. So yeah, it is very, very important and very heartening that the younger generations seems to want to be doing more about this.
Yeah, Dr. Chen, I think it's important that maybe with the younger generation, they have a greater appreciation, not only through education and awareness, but also from the tactile experiences of visiting places like the zoo, the night safari. Once you have that tactile experience, you tend to have a greater appreciation for the animals and want to save them, which is backed up by your statistics here. Regular visitors of your parks are 7 times more likely to participate more regularly in wildlife conservation efforts. So if you go to the zoo, you appreciate the animals, you're more likely to save them. I mean, I get that part. But interestingly, the next part is the responsibility and the role of zoos is changing, isn't it? For the same reason. They don't like the idea of animals being, you know, shut up in cages anymore. You know, zoos are not just there to titillate the public. They should be about conservation. They should be about education. So the role of the zoo itself is changing, isn't it?
Yes, that is very true. The modern zoos are, you know, for the past half a century or so ago, that, you know, we have been remodeled ourselves. It's a whole lot more now, doing a lot of things. Part of it, what you mentioned earlier, in terms of engaging with the guests coming to our parks, and that is very important now. More than 50% of the populations in the world, not just in Singapore, which is obviously highly urbanized, more than 50% of the world population now live in the city. So the opportunity of being able to connect with wildlife is becoming less and less. So the role of zoos in connecting people with wildlife is so much more important now. And just to reiterate the point that, you know, we can give people a lot of facts about needing to save wildlife, but at the end of the day, if a people were to grow up to try to conserve wildlife or not, it hinges on experiences that they change their mind. People are more likely to do something, conserving wildlife, for example, more out of emotional attachment, more less likely from an intellectual point of view. So, and the role of zoos in protecting wildlife now spans a whole spectrum, from connecting people with wildlife all the way in direct support of efforts saving wildlife in their native habitat. So for Wildlife Reserve Singapore, we provide financial and in-kind supports to many of our conservation partners within the region in Southeast Asia, as well as within Singapore as well. So that there are projects like, you know, we support, for example, a particular village in Indonesia, and to basically let the villagers know that, you know, don't go and chop down the rainforest because there are these, you know, silvery given critically endangered living in the rainforest, but we do allow them to have an alternative livelihood. So we encourage them to plant coffee tree in among the forest, the so-called shade coffee. And then Singapore Zoo also imported the whole lot of their produce. It is a small operation, a bit of a cottage industry. So we imported the whole of the coffee they produce every year. And we serve the coffee at our parks. It's called Owa Coffee. Owa is just the name of the silvery gibbon. So that's one of the examples of how we have direct impact in saving wildlife within the region.
We're talking with the Deputy CEO and Chief Life Science Office of the Wildlife Reserve Singapore, easy for me to say, feels like Saturday morning, Dr. Cheng Wenhao. And Dr. Cheng, when we look at like all of the different parks are now going to be incorporated together up in the Mandai area, well, how soon before the bird park is completed, the new bird park and all of it's together and ready to go?
Well, the first of the new wildlife park, which is the creation of the new bird park, will be towards the middle of 2022. We're working towards there right now. And for the rest of the other parks will be up towards 2025.
Yeah.
So, but in the meantime, we're all working very hard, and everyone knows that we're just, you know, in the midst of still combating with COVID-19. And the current existing parks were closed for about 3 months during part of the circuit breaker. So that was a bit of a struggling, very emotional for our staff members, but we managed to struggle through that. And the animals are continue to do well. And I'm very glad to say that, you know, our parks have reopened. We are now back to allowing 50% of our normal capacity to come back to our parks.
Yeah. And what do people have to do if they want to go to the park? Do they have to make a reservation or can they just show up? How does that work?
No, they have to make a reservation because now we are under a limited capacity still. So we want to make sure that, you know, people can come to our park, enjoy the park safely. So people have to go online to do the booking. They need to book the day as well as the time as well.
Right.
So, and that has worked out very well since we reopened our parks in July. And we started out with only 25% capacity allowed, but now we've gone up to 50%. And I'm very glad to say that, you know, all the Singaporeans, the residents, the local community have been very, very supportive. They've done all the right thing when they come to our parks. They've been very, very responsible, very considerate, you know, mask on and not, you know, mingle in big groups. And we're very, very, very grateful for that. And it just, to shout out to the Singaporeans that, you know, our parks exist to a large part is to, you know, so that Singaporeans, local community can have good, meaningful engagement with their wildlife. And we would not be able to do all the good works that we do in taking care of our animals well, doing all of these impactful conservation efforts. We would not be able to do any of those without the support of our guests. And even during the circuit breakers, when visitors cannot come and visit us physically, we got so much, you know, heartfelt well wishes, word of encouragement to our essential services staff. So that is just priceless, and we are very grateful for that.
And Dr. Cheng, just finally, how have your animals, because people forget, you know, a lot of emphasis on the staff and everything during the circuit breaker, but how have your animals been coping with COVID-19? Obviously, they still need to be fed and watered and nurtured every day, whether the zoos and the parks are open or not. So how have they been doing?
Well, the animals has always been of prime concern to us. We make sure that, you know, we give our staff the right amount of tools, the right amount of training, and they are all very, very passionate. They always take care of our animals really well. And for a while there was a bit of a concern that, you know, some of the food items might not be able to come into the country because of the disruption in some of the trade routes.
Exactly.
And we made alternative arrangements. And the good thing is that we never have to activate any of those alternative measures. So we've been able to source a lot of the food locally, and all the you know, the pipelines of the food coming to a country that you know went on unabated. So the animals were well looked after. So during the circuit breaker, because there were no visitors coming into our park, and our keepers continue to, you know, provide a lot of enrichment to ensure that the animals are kept well engaged, both physically and mentally as well. And, you know, some of the animals did seem to be missing, wondering that, you know, where were all the visitors? Because the animals, obviously, they do regard, you know, the visitors as part of their background environment. So, but they've adapted to that very well. And of course, we are reopened again, and the environment is back to normal for them again.
Well, the orangutans regard me as their brother.
Well, and I was going to say, you make it sound like that movie Madagascar, you know, where Marty's always looking for the big crowds to, you know, play to and all that. Maybe the animals enjoyed the peace and quiet for a change, huh?
I'm sure they do. I'm sure they do after a while. But then, you know, from their point of view, I'm sure that, you know, part of seeing people moving in and out as part of the, you know, they likely regard it as a bit of a background environment.
Sure.
It is a little bit of a stimulation to the senses as well.
Yeah, of course. Dr. Cheng Wenhao, thank you so much, the Deputy CEO of the Wildlife Reserves Singapore. Appreciate you coming on today to talk about your survey and how the animals at all the four parks are coping. We look forward to getting back to the zoos and different parks very soon.
Great talking to you. And yes, please do come and visit us. And when you do, you're helping us to save wildlife as well. Thank you.
To listen to more great interviews, download our podcasts at moneyfm893.sg or download the SBH radio app available on Google Play or the App Store.